Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. We have another interesting topic for you today, and the topic is real strength. What do we mean by real strength here? In light of hadith tradition, we are told by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam what real strength is, or what someone who is truly strong, which quality he possesses. And I'm sure from what I have mentioned, you have an idea of what we will discuss today, or some of the points related to that theme. Before I clearly mention today's theme and explain what I mean by real strength, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the importance, the excellence of sending blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, "Indeed, your name and your identity is presented to me. So send blessings upon me with the best of words." So the best of words for us, one, the words that are expressed in the Arabic language, best of words, the words that are reported or narrated by our scholarly predecessors. We know so many different types of salawat, or different expressions of salawat. Books have been written about salawat with different wordings of these supplications of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So as believers, as an expression of our reverence for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we should try to express this supplication of blessing in different ways, with beautiful words, with this belief and with this certainty that what we convey, or when we convey this message, or when we express this supplication, our names and identities are presented in the prophetic court. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to send blessings upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as much as we can. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. What is real strength? I would like to answer this question through the famous hadith mentioned in Bukhari. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal. It is reported from Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Laysa shadidu bis-sur'a." Strong is not he who overpowers someone, or a wrestler is not he who overpowers another individual. "Innamash shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." Strong is he who controls his temper when he is angry. We as human beings are affected by anger. There will be moments when we are displeased with the situation. When a person is affected by anger, when a person is enraged, faces become red. Some people even shiver with anger. Some people are so angry that they don't speak clearly, meaning even their speech is affected. The anger overwhelms them. But real strength is when a person has a level of self-control. If a person becomes enraged due to something, anger flows into him, he suppresses that anger. That is real strength. We live in a world where people who show or display their physical side in terms of lashing out, striking people, beating people, such people are considered to be strong. As far as the Sharia is concerned, as far as the prophetic teaching is concerned, real strength is when one controls himself or herself in a situation of anger. And anger is something you can't really control. Sometimes it's a reaction, a natural reaction to a situation that is disliked, or a situation which a person is displeased with in some way. So you will become angry. There's no such thing as you can avoid anger. You can't avoid anger completely, but yes, it is within your power, it is within our power to control that anger, to control what follows that anger, to control our tongues, to control our limbs, to control ourselves in such a way that we do not do something or say something that we will regret. And often we have serious situations. For example, when a husband becomes angry with a wife, he may say something so serious that affects his marriage. Unfortunately, when a husband in anger says something which may affect his marriage, and this case is presented to an Honorable Mufti Sahib, a jurist, an Islamic jurist, he often says, "I was angry." And anger is not an excuse, or anger does not excuse him from what he said. Anger is a very dangerous, not controlling anger rather, is a very dangerous trait. People who are temperamental, people who are aggressive, often say things or do things which they regret. So when, as soon as these feelings, as soon as this feeling of wrath, as soon as this rage starts boiling up within you, understand that this is a time to be very careful. This is a time to show forbearance. This is a time to take a step back and think before you act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned those who control their temper in the Quran. The famous verse of the Quran, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing them, he says that the people who control their temper and the people who forgive, and Allah loves those who are righteous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the people who control their temper in the Quran. So controlling temper is a trait of piety, is a trait of righteousness. Here it is mentioned with forgiving, and it is mentioned with being righteous or performing righteous deeds. Someone who controls his temper is an individual who has adopted a quality of righteousness. It's real strength. It's something not to be proud of, in the sense of one is proud of his good actions. You should think of it as something which is natural to a believer, but it's something to be happy about. It's something to be content with. Meaning, if a person is able to turn away, if a person is able to control himself when he is affected by anger, when something enrages him, this is a praiseworthy quality. This is strength. Remember, the believer should be so strong in his forbearance that when the disbelievers look at him, they think, even after all that, despite what he faced, he didn't lash out. Despite the abuse, despite the fact that he was personally verbally abused, offended, this person did not retaliate. What kind of faith does he have? What is giving him such strength? That is the kind of exemplary strength a Muslim should have, that you are so forbearing, that when you become angry, you don't lash out, you show self-control, you remind people and the person who is offending you that you are someone who is following the prophetic way, the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and you possess true strength, you possess real strength. So this message is a reminder, especially for our young folk, especially for those who spend their time doing their reps in the gym, or if the gyms are closed at home, they're busy bodybuilding or busy exercising, and one of the things in their mind, a thought in their mind is, I must increase my physical strength. It's a good thing to be healthy. It's a good thing to, with good intention, to exercise and to ensure that one is physically strong. But this strength is not the real strength or the praiseworthy strength compared to the quality of righteousness, meaning controlling one's anger, not losing your temper. This is actually a praiseworthy quality, and this is described as real strength in the prophetic traditions. So the people were busy exercising, really increasing their reps and increasing the intensity of their exercise for more physical strength. They should also be reminded of the fact that real strength is to control anger, control one's temper. Now I would like to share with you a very beautiful account which mentions the verse that was quoted earlier, and also mentions the beauty, or expresses the beauty, of forbearance or controlling temper. Once the slave of Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he spilt water onto the Imam's clothing. The Imam looked at him with anger, and obviously the slave panicked. But the slaves in that time, they also knew the Quran. So as soon as the Imam looked at him with that look of anger, he responded by saying, "My master, oh my master, wal kathimin al ghayth," referring to the verse of the Quran and those who control their temper. As soon as he said this, the Imam responded by saying, "I have controlled my temper," meaning I'm not angry anymore. And then the slave said, "Wal afina anin nas." So he quoted the next part of the verse, meaning those who forgive the people. So the Imam said to him, "I have forgiven you." Then he finished the verse by saying, "Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the righteous. The Imam responded by saying, "Go, I have freed you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 1,000 gold coins, 1,000 dinars from my wealth are for you." So not only did he free that slave, he also gave him money. He also expressed his generosity, or further expressed his generosity, by giving him 1,000 dinar. This was the character of the great Imam Ja'far Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala an. The lessons from this account of Imam Ja'far Sadiq are very clear. The fact that he controlled his temper. Not only did he control his temper, he expressed his forgiveness and then expressed his generosity. From this account of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, we are inspired by his generosity. We are inspired by the fact that he was willing to forgive. Let us think about ourselves. Let us reflect upon our personal situations. When something happens at home, as soon as something falls, something breaks, there's usually a cry. What happens? Shouting. "What have you broken now? You know, it costs money. How will we replace it?" Or the person will go storming towards the noise, where the noise came from. You know, anger, just to check. If something was broken, I'm going to retaliate. I'll let that person know. And sometimes it's just children. Children are playing. And when children are playing, accidents happen. But sometimes the children are even younger than the age of 6. You're talking about 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds. They've knocked something over. And the response of the parent, shout, "What have you done now? You know, you made my life a misery. You don't let me live in peace. I can't work in peace." Saying all these things will not help in any situation. It will not bring back what has been broken. I know it sounds obvious, but we have to say these things to ourselves. We have to remind ourselves of these things. So patience was, when it happened, you realize that it's an accident. Something was unintentionally broken. And children younger than the age of 6, you can't really expect them to follow instructions all the time. They're not robots. This is how they learn. They make mistakes. Just as an infant, as the infant grows up, learns to walk, stumbles, these children, they will make mistakes. But if children are scolded for every mistake, for things that are unintentional, this will affect their mental well-being. And a sign of this is that if a parent is going towards a child after a child has made a mistake, and the child is putting his or her hands, covering his head or covering his face, this is not a good sign. Your first response should be, "It's okay. It was a mistake. Accidents happen." The child realizes that I'm not in trouble. I didn't do it on purpose, and my mother or my father has acknowledged this. And children in these situations should be embraced, should be reassured. They should not be scolded. They should not be told off in such a harsh way that every little mistake, every little step they take, they're apprehensive. This is something parents, without realizing, they instill a fear within their children, and it affects the creativity, it affects the intelligence, it affects the mental well-being of their children. So hold on to your anger. Something falls, something breaks in the household, don't make a fuss, just realize it was an accident and move on. Create or maintain a calm environment within your homes. One of the common offenses which leads to anger, or which creates anger among people, is when they listen to or when they are exposed to verbal abuse. If someone swears at them, they become angry, and their first response may be to swear back, to say something indecent back, and this is their way of retaliation. If someone verbally abuses us, if someone swore at us, what would be our response? This is a question that we should reflect upon as people. Do we have it within us to ignore, to overlook, to turn away? An example that I would like to give you, which I hope will inspire you. Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala an, someone swore at Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala an. In this case, what did the Imam do? So a man swore at Imam Zainul Abidin. Imam Zainul Abidin presented his blessed cloak or shirt and gave him 1,000 silver coins, 1,000 dirham. This is something unimaginable for people today. If someone verbally abuses an individual, that he gives them something as a gift. I mean, you're probably thinking that does not happen, that will not happen, that cannot happen. It's not impossible. Imam Zainul Abidin, this was the beauty of his character. This was the beauty of the prophetic household. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, the example was given of him here, Imam Zainul Abidin, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that when they have inherited, this is an inherent quality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when people would approach him or they would express ignorance towards him, his forbearance would increase. And obviously his generations after him, his children, they had that character trait. So when people would come to these noble personalities with such negativity, their response would be of generosity and forbearance. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah, he writes that once a man swore at Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Yes, the companion Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. But he remained silent. He did not respond. In fact, he said to Sayyidina Ikrimah, he said, "Oh Ikrimah, ask this person, if he has a need, fulfill his need." When the person heard this, he dropped his head in shame. This man was ashamed of the fact that he swore at such a noble personality who was willing to fulfill his need. This is a lesson for us. This was the character of the blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, known for his words of wisdom, it is reported by Imam Ghazali that he says one of the first benefits a forbearing person attains, or one of the first benefits of forbearance, is that the people around that individual, they begin to support him and they oppose the individual who abuses him or who offends him. So this is the beauty of good character. When someone expresses humility, if that humility is sincere, a lot of the time, the person who has wronged that individual or the person who is aggressive towards that individual will stop and acknowledge that despite my oppressive behavior, despite my offensive behavior, despite my abusive behavior, this person is so humble, maybe I should stop. Maybe I should give him a break. Maybe I shouldn't be so harsh on him. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once questioned Sayyidina Araba bin Aus rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that, "Oh Araba, how did you become the leader of your people?" So many people desire to become leaders or be accepted as leaders. And in this case, this is noteworthy, especially for those people. And generally, it's good information, I guess. Not that we should aspire to lead or become leaders. We should aspire to become people who serve the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leadership is something which may be given if people think that we are deserving of a leadership role, but it's good to know which qualities or which traits a person should have to be a good leader. So in this case, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, he acknowledged the fact that Sayyidina Araba had become a leader of his people, and he wanted to know, you know, how did you achieve this, or how did you succeed in leading the people? Sayyidina Araba radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned two things. He said, "Two things, I do two things, and because of these two elements, I was granted or I attend leadership." He said that, "I forgive," talking about the people, "I forgive the ignorant among the people, and I give to those who are in need among the people." So generosity towards those who are in need, and forgiving those who are ignorant. Sometimes we may have one quality and not the other, but both qualities combined are good traits of leadership. And even if it's not for leadership, generally speaking, those who are in need, we should give to them. And those ignorant people who act in ignorance, and they're aggressive because of their ignorance, or they're negative because of their ignorance, we should overlook the ignorance of people so that we succeed. Remember, we live in communities where people are not perfect. We are not perfect. We will make mistakes. People around us will make mistakes. If we don't have it in us to forgive and to control our temper, our communities will be in complete disarray. We need to be people of self-control. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum controlled their temper on many occasions and did not proceed with an action because they did not want it to be due to anger. We know about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he was about to kill a disbeliever, and the disbeliever spat on Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he retreated a little bit. Well, he did not proceed because he did not want to do something due to his anger. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the Amirul Mu'mineen, he was about to punish a man who was intoxicated, and the man swore at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. So he did not proceed. And when he was questioned about this, he said he did not want to punish an individual because of a personal grievance. This is how careful the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were in terms of their character. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he's reported to have said that goodness is not this that you have more children and wealth. Goodness is this that you have more knowledge and forbearance. So in his words, more ilm and more hilm. So ilm and hilm, this is goodness, not more children and more wealth. This was the message of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Many things to reflect upon. A few points mentioned here about real strength being that we control our temper, we have a level of self-control. This should be natural for a believer. This should be something which is an example for other people. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah accept our efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to control our anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the teachings of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and adopt real strength. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.